bless you tonight.
God bless you.
You may not have a medical condition.
God bless you.
But he wants to bless you tonight.
God bless you.
How many know he's money if you want to be money? How many know he's a doctor if you want to be a doctor? How many know he's everything you want to be? Just let him. Just let him bless you.
God bless you.
No matter what your problem,
God bless you.
He wanna bless you.
God bless you.
Well, let me.
God bless you.
Well, just let me go on and tell
you. God bless you.
Bless me.
God bless you.
Bless me.
God.
Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Why don't you go ahead and praise Him? Isn't it worthy to be praised? Oh God, now we thank you. We had admonished you in praise and worship. Hearts are now prepared and ready to hear from you. God, speak to me. Speak through me. That your word will go forth. That your word will accomplish its purpose. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Gospel according to St. Luke. Thank God for these ministers of music and this choir. Let's praise God for them.
Yeah, yeah.
What a wonderful job on today. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10. Chapter 10, commencing at verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Set him on his own beast, brought him into the inn, and took care of him. And on tomorrow, when he departed, took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, I'll come again, I will repay thee. Look to your neighbor, say, neighbor. Come on, say it loud, wake him up. Say, neighbor. Can you help a brother out? God bless you. Thank you, worshipers. Can you help a brother out? An illustration, as a man who fell into a dark pit. And people begin to gather around and discuss the man, the pit, and the predicament. One subjective person yelled down to him, I feel for you down there in the pit. The scholar scoffed and said, only bad people fall into pits. The mathematician calculated how deep the pit was. The news reporter wanted an exclusive story on how long he would be in the pit. The IRS agent was concerned on whether taxes have been paid on the pit. One man sobbed and said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen the pit that I fell in. The fire and brimstone preacher said and screamed, you deserve your pit by the way you've been living. The Christian scientist observed and says, don't worry, the pit is just in your mind. The psychologist noticed that your mother and father are the blame for you being in the pit, for they were in pit themselves. The self-esteem therapist said, believe in yourself and you can get out of your pit. The optimist says, things could have been worse. The pessimist says, things has just gotten worse. But then finally, after all of these professional people cast their opinion, this old man walked up with no education like they had, looked down at the man in the pit and say, brother, I know how you feel. I've been where you are. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do for you what somebody did for me. I'm going to reach down and get you out of this pit. My brothers and sisters, it comes a time in life where we need to quit just telling people, I'm going to pray for you, and start doing the work of God. Somebody is in need. Quit using "I'll pray for you" as an escape goat to get out of doing God's work. Because if you be real about it, you're not all of that in a bag of chips. Where you are right now, you're here by the grace of God. I don't care how educated you are. You're educated by the grace of God. I don't care what job you have. You have it by the grace of God. It makes no difference what house you live in, how many cars in the driveway. You have these things by the grace of God. And I wonder, is there anybody can testify and be real with me and say, if it had not been for God putting up with me, for God having mercy on me, I would still be in the pit and the dark pits of my life, but it was by God's grace and it was by God's mercy. You ought to tell your neighbor, I'm struggling. Can you help a brother out? The parable that sets before us is an answer to one of the lawyers in verses 25 through 26. Came to ask Jesus a question. He was inquiring about eternal life. This lawyer was not a judicial lawyer, but rather he was an interpreter of the Mosaic law that grants him the title of a lawyer. But yet he came to Christ asking him a question. He said, I've been hearing about this eternal life you've been preaching about. What do I need to do to inherit this eternal life? Jesus, in response to him, he said, wait a minute. Aren't you a keeper of the law? What does the law say determining about eternal life? And he answered and said in verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, well, you said right. He said, these are the things that you need to do. And see, the latter part of the law that people fail to realize, loving God, I have no problem with that. Loving God with all my mind, I have no problem with that. Loving God with all my soul, I have no problem with it. But treat your neighbor. Love him or her just as much as you love yourself. Ah, God, he's not pleased with us. We walk in his holy house raising hands in the sanctuary, but God pickers and chooses who we'll shake hands with. We walk in the sanctuary raising our voice. I was watching some of you, how you were praising God along with the choir, but with those same lips won't speak to the person on your pew. God says, how can you love me whom you have not seen, but hate your brother who you see every day? He said, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. I know, Mount Zion, we're not going to always get along. We're going to disagree, but it doesn't mean that I can't speak to you. It is the right thing to do to shake your hand, although we might have disagreements, but yet I have something inside of me won't let me walk out of here without saying I love you anyway. Something is wrong. You can walk in the presence of a holy God and have that kind of mentality. He says, treat your neighbor as you would want to be treated. And then he said, to justify himself in verse 29, he said, well, if that's the case, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, well, instead of me answering me, let me just tell you a story. Jesus says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The reason why that we should help a brother out or be willing to help a brother out, write this down, because he's going in the wrong direction. Look at the text. He's leaving from Jerusalem going down to Jericho. Now, he's on the right road, but going in the wrong direction. Because Jerusalem was a place of worship. It was a place where people laid prostrate before God and they approached the throne of God and worshiped God. But Jericho was a place of sin and a cursed city. Anything you wanted to do wrong, you can do it in Jericho. And he's leaving Jerusalem going to Jericho. He's on the right road but going in the wrong direction. I wish I had somebody to testify. If you can remember, and it shouldn't be that far off, yeah, you was once on that same road. We done got so holy now that we look down on everybody that's traveling on the wrong road. But you must remember, you haven't always walked on the narrow way. We have all walked on the broad way one time or another. But look what God has done with you. And if God can do things with you, why you think God can't do things with him or her? And see, when we see people falling, we should have a desire to pick them up. We should have a desire to lift them up and don't want anything in return.
Yeah, all right, that's it. That's it.
Some folk witness to people. You're on the right road, but you have the wrong motives. You witness to people, invite them to church, and when they come to church and give their life to Christ, you want to walk up with them to let the church know, I'm the one brought them here. You didn't do anything. God just used you. The Holy Spirit brought them here. He's on a road, a dangerous road. Look at his position. The Bible says he's going down to Jericho. Anytime you leave God's presence, the only direction you have to go is down. Watch this. He's on a path where muggers, thieves, lepers have their way with people in dark corridors and caves on this road. He's leaving out of the presence of God, and now he's walking in a direction where harm can come to him. The Bible says he went down from there, and watch, and the Bible says, and he fell among thieves. Not only was he going in the wrong direction, but then he was in the wrong company. The Bible says he fell among thieves. Watch this. Now, for those of you who've never been out in the streets like I have, there is a thing where guys will come to you and act like they're your friend. But the true motive is to take from you what you have. There are some guys in the pool hall who are so slick, they'll let you win the first two games. But on the third game, just do it double or nothing. Some of y'all laughing because you the one did it. Amen. There's true skill set comes out and deceives you. And so this man, he falls among thieves and they rob him and they beat him and leaves him there half dead. Can I tell you one thing? When you walk away from God, you're going to always get mixed up in the wrong crowd. That's what's wrong with our young people now. They have walked away from God. Y'all are not going to like what I'm getting ready to say, but I don't care. That's what's wrong with some of you parents now. You have walked away from God.
But soon as your child mess up, you want the church to run to your rescue. You want the pastor to come do something with your child. It is not my job to raise your child. If you bring them to the house of God, we can nurture them in the word of God. But it's your job to set precepts and examples for your child.
That's right, Pastor. That's right. That's right.
Lord, help my baby get off dope. But yet, you and him smoke weed together. You and your child drink together. You and your child club together. My brothers and sisters, children don't need friends. They need parents. He fell among thieves. And they took everything that he had. They stripped him. And he was left for dead. And that's one thing about Satan. When he strips you, he tries to strip you from everything you have, your dignity, your integrity, and he leaves you on the road all by yourself. He's going in the wrong direction. He gets mixed up with the wrong people. They take everything that he has, and they beat him and leaves him on the road bleeding and die. But oh, as he lays there, realize that he made a grave mistake. Three people on their way to church. On their way to lift up his holy name in the tabernacle. The preacher passes him first. The one who is getting ready to preach to the people and tell them about the love of God and how we should look for and look after one another walked past him as though he's not even there. Don't even just keep his head straight. Y'all know we've been guilty of that. See somebody in need, and we act like we didn't see him. He kept his head straight, eager to get to the pulpit and preach God's word. But then to make matters worse, a Levite, in our term, is like a deacon or an elder of the church. To make matters worse, he goes and looks at him, saw him suffering, and still walked away and didn't do anything. The priest was believing that what's mine, and I will keep it. It's not my problem what you're going through. But yet, my brothers and sisters, we are treading on dangerous ground. Can I tell you something? God is not pleased with us. Sitting in the sanctuary looking all good. Nails and hair done and suits on, looking good, smelling good, walking good. Got all the change in your pocket. Have money you didn't lost and forgot what pocket and purse you put it in. And you know somebody is in need and won't give them a dime.
Lord, it's not pleased. Amen, Pastor, preach it.
He's not pleased with us. And we as a church uphold, when there's a need to be met, we don't need to have no committee meeting when it comes to doing God's will. We are a sad church. The only way we can help somebody, we've got to have a meeting and get agreement on it. I'm glad God didn't look at us like that. I'm glad God didn't look at man's sin like that and went to heaven with the angelic host and say, let's have a meeting to decide what we're going to do. But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He was in the wrong road, mixed up in the wrong crowd. But then thirdly, he needed to help a brother out because this brother had been overlooked. They saw his condition, walked away from his condition, and went to church. God places people in our path to help them. And can I tell you something else? God did not bless you financially for you to keep it by yourself. God blesses you financially to help somebody along life's way. But then Satan creeps up in your mind. I ain't going to help them. They need to get theirs like I got mine. But see, when you're messing up, you didn't get yours. God gave it to you. And the same way God gave it to you, if you get selfish with you, the same God gave it can take it away from you. Let me tell you how we are. Some of us got more than the heart could wish for. Just money just sitting there, you living off the interest. And you know somebody legitimately in pain and in trouble. And you won't do nothing to help them. Now let me say legitimately, because you got some folk will try to scam you. But then God will put a legitimate person in your path, and you know they're in need, and you won't do anything to help them. You're treading on dangerous ground. Let me tell you why. I've never seen a U-Haul following the hearse. And if God didn't bless you like that, then you should be willing to bless somebody else. But see, here we go. Here we go. I'm going to give it to you. But how you going to pay me back? Well, y'all done got quiet now. You got too many long sharks in the church. Don't get me wrong. If someone borrowed, they should pay you back. But if they don't, God will bless you above measure. Oh, Lord, look at them long shorts. Watch this. Y'all ready for this? Watch this. The preacher passing by, the deacon passing by, but then here comes a Samaritan. Now, with this man leaving Jerusalem, going to Jericho, is the indication that he was a Jew. Jews and Samaritans did not get along. Jews hated Samaritans. But then this Samaritan goes over where he is, looks at him, doesn't say you deserve it, gets wine and oil and pours on his wounds to start his healing process. Picked the man up, put the man on his beast, carries a man to an inn, puts him in a room, and pays his fare. Tells the innkeeper, I've got to leave tomorrow, but whatever finances he acquire, don't put him out. When I come back, I'll take care of it. Y'all not getting what I'm saying? Y'all want to know why the Samaritan was able to do that with the innkeeper? Because the innkeeper and the Samaritan had a relationship. And that's why it's good to be in contact with somebody with a relationship with God. When you fall by the wayside, that soldier can tell our Father, look after them, take care of them. Whatever they need, Father, just give it to them. Binds up this man's wounds. Nurtures him. A man, watch this, a man who didn't even like him, a man who hated him, takes him and takes care of him and places him